All right, I think we'll get going. I know I've got a few more presenters still coming in, so hopefully they'll come on. Welcome to our biweekly KISSA Zoom roundtable. Thank you all for attending. I know you're busy, as we all are in these COVID times, but I appreciate you taking some time to spend with us. These calls are member benefits, and I'd like to thank you all for your membership in KISSA. Your membership helps us continue to provide services such as these calls, so it's a great benefit. Format for today's call is a panel discussion on operational changes, specifically to ticketing, rentals, and retail. We'll cover some of the other categories in a call in 2 weeks, so we're going to stick to ticketing, rentals, and retails. Please keep your mind muted, or your mic muted, excuse me, if you are not speaking or not invited to speak. There is a chat function on the bottom of the screen. I think everyone's familiar with that. Please use it. We'd love to hear from the, you know, from our audience and from those of you that are not on the panel, as your comments are just as important as those that we have today. As we discuss, please keep in mind that COVID is a fluid situation. I think we're all well aware of that at this point. Things are changing daily and just about by the minute. So what we discuss today may be totally different tomorrow. So we need to keep that all in mind. But also remember that this is an opportunity to think outside the box and do some different things. I know I've learned a tremendous amount from being on these calls and talking to everyone, and also learned a lot from the Alpine side on some of their challenges. Let's see, I'd like to point out that early indication this year is for a pretty epic winter. We've seen that in a couple different places. I'll briefly touch on one is that we appear to be entering a La Nina weather pattern that is generally good for those areas of the country that generally have snow. So that's exciting. Also, our early retail sales from September and October have been outstanding, so that's exciting. As have season pass sales. We're seeing a lot of growth year over year from the previous years, so that's super exciting. With that said, I'd like to introduce our panel for today. We've got Sally Jones, Nordic Director from Tahoe Donner Cross Country in California. We've got Lauren Stagniti, Outdoor Center Manager from the Trapp Family Lodge in Vermont. Ellen Chandler is the Nordic Director from Jackson XC in New Hampshire. Sorry, people are still coming in here. Gareth Hubin, President of Harwood Ski and Bike in Ontario, Canada. Pierre Vezina, Nordic Director from Mont Saint-Anne, Quebec in Canada. Richard Hodges, Nordic Director from White Pine. Matt Sebastianski, Outdoor Center Director from Pineland Farm. And Sheldon Miller, Marketing Manager from the Craftsbury Outdoor Center. So we've got quite a group today. Thank you all for taking some time to spend with us. I want to start with Sally. I think Sally's there. Sally, I know certainly we've had conversations all summer, and Tahoe Donner has a huge lodge. It's actually featured on the homepage of our consumer site because it's so beautiful. But your management has decided to largely keep people outside with a few exceptions. Can you speak to how that decision was made and what the parameters are?
Sure. So far that's our plan. I'm a strong stand for that, and fortunate enough that the bigger organization is backing my decision on that still. As you said, Reese, things are fluid. I keep waiting for the ball to drop that our food and beverage manager might change his mind and say you've got to have indoor seating. But I'm just going to bat for myself and my employees to keep us as safe as possible. And I can really, it scares me to think of crowds that we get sitting inside, coughing and sneezing and snuffling on a cold, stormy day. As a result, we're anticipating losing some probably retail and definitely food and beverage sales. But I think our safety is number one, because as I've said before on these calls, if we go down, the ski area goes down. So I got to keep my employees and myself virus free so we can keep offering our real product, which is outside on the ski trails. Does that answer your question, Reese?
Yeah, it does. So let's talk a little bit about some of the operational changes you've made. Like, you will still have a food service, but it is an order outside. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. Food and beverage will be served. We're switching our menu to totally to-go, takeout style. unfortunately, that's going to result in some more trash, but we kind of, just something we're going to have to live with. We're trying to go as eco-friendly as we can with our packaging, but we'll allow folks to line up inside the building at 6 feet minimum, maybe more distance, just depending on how the flow is looking. So they can line up, purchase, and then leave, exit the building through a different lane at the same doors to go eat on the patio or back in the car or take it home too. So we're going to be marketing that of, you know, take your sandwich out on the trail or take your soup back to your fireplace in your cabin and have lunch at home kind of thing. So that's a food and beverage coming in through our back patio, kind of the snow access side of the building. Tickets and rentals will be at the front of the building, parking lot side of the building. Currently, we're looking at busy days having two separate lines. One line will go to two ticket windows that have, we're putting microphones in them. It's going to be hard to have ourselves heard through just a little hole in the window with masks on both sides. So we're putting microphones in those, and we'll be processing online ticket sales. We'll be issuing the media through those ticket windows and activating our Seasons Pass sales there by giving them the current year's sticker. Everything is going to be promoted to be online pre-registration only. You've got to buy your product before you get here. Although we will obviously have cash registers open if we feel like we've got the capacity for the day. We're not going to turn people away if we have the space to accommodate them. Separate line on busy days for rentals, still outside of the building, again prepaid, so we'll invite them into the building as we have room in the rental shop. They'll scan their receipt and hopefully their tickets will print out, their rental voucher will print out, so we can attach the equipment to their name and get them out the door. And I'm joking with my rental supervisor that she's got 5 minutes to get people in the door and out the door. I don't know if that's actually possible, but you know, within 10 minutes, we want to see people being suitably processed with our usual great customer service, but having the push, having the incentive for folks to keep on moving so we can open up spaces on the benches for the next crowd at you know, appropriate distancing. We're only allowing travel through the rental shop in one direction. Absolutely no swimming upstream. The access to restrooms will be outside the building. We're going to have one side of the building restrooms open for public, and we'll have some porta potties spread around the building too. And then we're going to keep one set of restrooms for employees only. That's kind of the basic outline.
Sally, you mentioned capacity. Do you have a capacity limit? And if so, what is it? And how did you come up with that?
We haven't set an actual number for that yet. Our biggest capacity is our parking, and we typically do fill up our parking spaces and run a shuttle bus on busy days. So we'll be doing that again this year to a remote parking site about 5 minutes away. So that's our biggest capacity. Obviously, rentals, we've never turned anybody away, although we've been creative in sizing that we've sent people out on. You know, we can see 350, 400 rentals a day on a crazy weekend over Christmas. So we have the equipment for that. But this year is a whole new year, so we could be exceeding our capacities. So we're going to be watching that as reservations come in, watching the parking situation and the satisfaction or dissatisfaction for both our homeowners, our Seasons Pass holders, and our general public that come to ski with us, and assessing that and changing those caps accordingly. And then, you know, we've got 100 kilometers of trail, so out on the trails, I'm not anticipating capacity. However, I don't want to be remembered for us being super crowded and just too many people. We're going to go somewhere else next year. So I'm also don't have hard figures on that, but I'm definitely aware of that. That I want it still to be that wonderful kind of remote cross-country experience. I don't want it to feel like a Disneyland when they get there.
Right. We have a question about your shuttle bus and how you're operating that. I know I was on an Alpine call when your Alpine side was talking about that shuttle, but could you briefly just explain how you'll operate that safely?
Sure. First off, I've got my shuttle. My returning drivers are all willing to drive. That was my first question, because I wasn't sure if I would get anybody willing, but they're most of them are school bus drivers and are back at work with schools or local transportation. We're going to be putting plexiglass shields for the drivers. We'll be requiring masks for all riders, and either be taking some seats out or Xing off seats to make sure that we're not over COVID safe capacity, whatever we deem or upper management deems that would be. And also kind of thinking of having the windows open, that obviously would have to depend on the day. And just if people are anticipating that with the clothing they're wearing, we are telling people to dress to be ready to wait outside if they're coming to rent equipment, especially. So hopefully people will have an extra jacket on. But as to how, where then they put that jacket and their shoes as they change into their ski stuff, we're still playing with how do we provide cubbies outside on those stormy days that their shoes won't be full of snow when they come back. I think that's pretty much it. A lot of people will also encourage people to come into the parking lot, drop off the family, and then just have the driver go and park at the at our large restaurant parking spaces. So it's just one person riding the bus back to the cross country center, and we could have got the family out on the snow already while mom or dad comes back up, having dropped the car off.
Awesome. I know Nate from New Hampshire mentioned that their capacities are, or their shuttles are running at half capacity and must be 6 feet from the driver. So sounds like there are restrictions there. We do have a question about directional trails, and Sam, I think we'll delay that because I know Richard has been thinking about that. He'll be speaking a little later. Let me go to Matt from Pineland Farm. And Matt, you have kind of an interesting layout at your center. You've got a really small outdoor center downstairs with a pretty good size food market upstairs. They are separated. You can't travel between the two inside. Can you share some of your plans for operation this winter, knowing that your Nordic Center is so small?
Yeah. So the Nordic Center proper is about 400 square feet. So we really can't allow anybody indoors. So to manage tickets, we've built a building with two ticket windows. We're changing our POS systems and moving them out into that building to have a ticket booth like you'd see at the fair. So step up, grab your ticket and go. We also have QR codes on all the distancing markers, right? So every 6 feet we'll have a post with a QR code that you can click on with your phone, buy your ticket with the QR code. And then we'll have somebody there with a roll of tickets. You can just grab a ticket and go. So trying to make the line a little bit shorter. So for our rentals, we're going to do this a similar thing. We're going to do them through the window. The rentals will be indoors. The renters will be outdoors. We've got a bunch of benches that we've built, and it's going to be a little cold, but we're just going to have to figure that out. We stocked up on hand and foot warmers, so figuring those may be a little bit hard to get once we hit the season. We're going to try to get people, you know, through the rental line. So we have two windows. We'll have two people taking care of rentals. And then we have a third window for exchanges. If your boot size is wrong, something you don't know how to put your bindings together or whatever. So we'll have somebody there answering questions as well, so that we can try to streamline that, keep that line moving as quickly as possible. And Jackson does a great thing where you can put your boots on the rack where the rental boots come out of, and we're going to do the same thing. So people that are renting can put their boots right inside where they'll be warm. When they return their boots, we'll give them their shoes back. It's a great idea. Thank you, Ellen. That was awesome. We stole that from you. And then as far as food and the market goes, the market is upstairs. It is a much larger space than downstairs, but we're still concerned. It gets pretty overwhelmed in a normal year. So we're moving our food operations outside, and we're going to have destination food service. So in our outdoor cabins, one's about a 5 kilometer ski, one's about a K and a half. So you can ski out. We've just purchased generators. We've put in some new windows so that we can do food service with counters. And we got these hot spots so that we can run our POS systems off a generator and connect through the satellite right out there, and we can take cash, credit card, whatever, out on the trail system. So that's actually going to work really well for us. So that's really what we're trying to do to keep the crowds out of the buildings and keep people outside. So I think I said in one of the previous meetings, we've put up 4 new fire pits to keep people warm so that they can warm their fingers while they're eating. Obviously, we'll have, you know, hot foods, soups and things that they can keep their hands warm with also. But we've also picked up a couple of garden domes that we'll have space heaters in. So you'll have in a couple of different spaces outside the market, you'll have a place that you can have up to 8 people, you know, inside and eating. So if a family comes and they have kids and they want to get in, they can sign up for one of the garden domes. We'll do it at an hour at a time. And they'll have an indoor place that they can do a little bit of food too. So that's what we're doing.
Matt, any concerns? Everything is talked so much about touchless everything, but you're going to be taking the shoes of your people. Any concerns with taking those shoes and bringing them inside?
I don't have a big concern with it. We'll see. You know, for our people, they'll be wearing PPE, right? So they'll have face shields, and obviously we're going to have gloves on. So
right.
I don't think that we're going to experience any issues.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Let's move to Lauren in Trapp Family Lodge. Lauren, there she is. Your outdoor center has a nice open upstairs with a little bit of seating. And your rentals and repairs downstairs. Can you speak to how you've altered that layout for this year, if you have at all?
Yes, we're working on that quite a bit. We're getting a new ventilation system for downstairs, which is going to be a huge benefit to keep the air really fresh. We are now going to be using our yurt upstairs as a second rental shop. We'll have mainly snowshoes in the yurt, but we will have ski rentals there as well, and we will have a POS in the yurt. So we'll have 2 rental locations. We are anticipating staying open a couple of nights a week to encourage the hotel guests to come and rent their skis later in the day so they can be all set with hopefully weekly rentals before they, you know, before their week starts, guest houses included. We're going to have some plexiglass, and we're also get some portalettes for outside to help keep the bathroom traffic down. We're going to have an entrance one way, exit the other, so that'll keep the traffic in one direction. And we're going to also limit how many people are in the building. We're going to use ambassadors more outside, so when people approach, they're going to know exactly where they have to go for what they need. And we'll keep an eye on how many people are in the building. So far, the staff is pretty good. No one's too worried about things. So those are some of the things we're doing. We're doing some ticket, the QR codes we've been using for biking all summer, which has been really good. People can scan their phones. We have online ticket sales as well. And we're hoping to purchase a machine where we can literally scan your phone and a ticket will spit out. If we can get that, that'll be another nice addition. And we have a gatehouse now in our parking lot, which has been really helpful during foliage to kind of get people in the direction they need to be and let them know what they need to do. So we're hoping that that'll be really helpful with getting people understanding about the tickets, how they can get their tickets, and which direction they can go to get what they need.
Awesome. You mentioned a new ventilation system. Is that a huge undertaking? What's that all about?
I don't know the figures now. Our head of maintenance has been getting that organized for us, but it's something we've wanted to do for a really long time and probably wouldn't have done it this year, but with the pandemic, it put us in action. So we're really excited about the airflow that's going to come through this basement, because we're in a basement here. For those of you that don't know, we have a downstairs ski shop. And so it's really, we're very excited about that, keeping the air fresh for the staff.
Hey, Lauren, can I jump in for a sec?
Sure.
Yeah, I've been, this is Sam on Trapp here. I've been on a mission for the airflow for quite a few years. But it just has to do with the negative pressure that exists in a building. And we have 2 fireplaces in our outdoor center, which suck a lot of air out of a room. A really active fireplace can suck 500 cubic feet per minute out of a room. And so we often struggled to replace that air. So we had this ability to, you know, COVID is really justifying, obviously, air quality so important now. So basically a replacement air system, take air from outside, heat it up a little bit. It's 220 volt. And then bring that warm air inside. And that will allow us to allow the fireplaces to more easily suck the air out of the building and just turn over the air inside the building much more quickly.
So, Sam, it's not a directional airflow. It's just a replacement of the negative air.
Yep. So it's just bringing clean air in from outside and then, yep, and sucking it out the chimney and just turn over the air as quickly as we can.
Does that appease any COVID, air quality standards, or is it just?
I don't think there's anything, you know, it's interesting because we're looking at all this because here in Vermont, there are some funds that are being dispersed to the ski areas to help pay for COVID related expenses. So we're trying to look at all this and obviously we have to justify this on our application. And so this one, yeah, I don't know that we're going to have necessarily hard numbers other than the fact that aerosols are the number one concern, you know, and we hear that, you know, for a place like Tahoe Donner to not be letting people in buildings, that's a major concern. We feel that we have to let them in our buildings. You know, I appreciate the people. I can't wait to see how it works with Pineland, with, you know, the people being outside. It is so windy. The entrance to our outdoor center is one of the windiest spots in Vermont. And so we just don't see reasonably any way that we can have people standing out there. You know, there are days that work, but most of the days it won't. So we just felt that we had to be able to get people into the building. And I think that turning that air over more quickly again, you know, it's about, like Sally said, we got to protect our team so that they're able to come in tomorrow and so that they can feel good about coming in each day.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Thanks. Ellen from Jackson, you guys have a pretty vibrant operation, but also have some indoor challenges. How are you planning to adapt to some of those challenges and some of the regulations being set forth for COVID?
Well, listening to Sam, it does make me, it's real easy to sit here in November or October and say, oh, people will just have to use their car as their lodge. And it's, the reality is going to be pretty hard to see some days in any time this winter, but we are using the base lodge essentially for transactions only and some staff space, indoor space. So we will have we've never had a big food operations, but we will have essentially no food operation this year. So there'll be no sitting around drinking cocoa by the fire. We're just closing off that one section of our, if anyone's been in our center, there's a section that has been sort of for hospitality. That's going to be cordoned off because I'm splitting up the staff area. So what has been a very crowded staff area will be used for the ski patrol and one set of outdoor staff. And the other part of the lodge that had been used for, you know, guests is being cordoned off so that the ski instructors and other staff can have their space. And then there'll be a sort of the area where people have been able to perform transactions is going to be open. And we have a sublet ski shop here, and we have to make sure that they can operate in according to retail guidelines in New Hampshire, which are pretty, you know, there are rules, but they're pretty open. So they can sell skis and sell their apparel. But the hardest part is going to be keeping the flow going and, you know, listening to how you're going to be running it at traps, just having between volunteers and staff sort of to keep people moving is going to be a challenge, but it's really by not having basically any chairs, that's going to solve part of that problem. Our rental shop we're going to try to force people into online reservations and prioritize service to people who have reserved their skis online and use the information we get in advance to pre-set out the skis. I mean, the skis and poles are pretty much, it's not exactly, you know, it's pretty much whatever you weigh is what you weigh, and that's the determines the skis you're going to get. So we're going to try to place them outside with a party's name on it, and then just have the indoor space of the rental shop for boot fitting, which again, I think the online is going to help in that it will force people to sort of think about what their shoe sizes are in advance as opposed to standing around in front of us deciding what size their feet are. We will be doing the thing where they can store their shoes in their cubby, but I think that, you know, just listening to this, it reminds me on the our COVID page for the website, we need to start telling people, you need to ski with a backpack. You may not usually ski with a backpack, but this year you want to ski with a little backpack because you're going to be carrying all your belongings with you. And that's something the whole state of New Hampshire has been behind. I mean, even the downhill ski areas are telling people your car is your lodge. So even the downhill ski areas are not allowing people to leave bags. There are no bag cubbies anywhere in New Hampshire this year, essentially. We're adding a tent outdoors on our patio, which we will attempt to heat. Whether that's going to, on some days that will work and some days it won't be particularly meaningful. And we're going to add some fire pits. We have one fire pit destination that's makes for about a 10K loop, and that will be open, and it does have a small warming hut. We are going to have to monitor that to make sure it doesn't get crowded. But we'll have outdoor fire pits in easy to access locations to sort of hopefully draw people around. We're going to have, the building will be sort of have a fenced area that will be, when you're inside that area, you need to put your mask on because I don't want people walking into the building and then figuring out their masks. I want them to have their masks on or their face coverings on when they walk into the building. And we are going to add, our restrooms are not ideal. We're adding portable toilets right near our base area, and we're also putting them at key trailheads. We have five trail networks, so, and some of them have no facilities. In general, in a normal year, people would come here, kind of congregate, and then go to the trailheads. We're going to try to encourage them, and we are encouraging them, and that's one of our pushes for season pass holders, is to go straight to the trailheads, and we're going to, wherever possible, we will have a portable toilet there as well. We're lucky in that a lot of our, more than, I'd say almost 50% of our business is season pass holders who have some sort of a beachhead in the region. So we're encouraging them to, you know, go from their home to their car to the trail. Another big fact, we have a lot of people who are staying in some motels, and they can get their tickets there. So again, trying to push that. Nothing real rocket science-y. Things we may be trying to do in addition is, if you're staying at a motel or a hotel, excuse me, and you want to have a lesson, since all lessons will be in family groups, the instructor could conceivably meet you at your trailside hotel and start your lesson there. Trying to think if there's anything else that we have.
That's a great idea.
I took from the summer, the QR code idea from Trapp Family Lodge that you're using on your bike trails, and we're going to do that as well to try to prevent poaching. Which, you know, good luck with that, right? But that's, you know, other than for us, it's mostly just education, because we don't really have the option of changing our building that much.
Ellen, you mentioned online ticketing. I know you have spent most of the summer looking at this. Have you identified what that platform is going to be?
For the QR codes, no. For the rentals, it's going to be Fair Harbor.
It'll be which one?
Fair Harbor.
Okay. Yep. Awesome.
And they've been approaching us about changing over our whole POS system, and we've sort of dragged our heels because we've got a lot of information built into a serious ticketing program, which is very difficult to use, and just not sure if Fair Harbor will give us the time, you know, if it's going to be fast enough for regular transactions, but I feel like for reserving rentals, it will be.
Right. Right. Awesome. Okay, moving on. Let's go up to Canada. We've got two of our Canadian members. We'll start with Gareth. I think I saw Gareth join, so I'm hoping he's here somewhere. Gareth, you and I have spoken many times over the summer. And last we spoke, your province was placing some restrictions on on group size that would affect a large ski area such as yourself. What is your winter looking like at this point? Have those decisions been made looking forward?
Hey, Reese. it's still kind of up in the air with our government. So we're seeking answers as an industry, pushing to the higher levels. And we're getting some movement, but it's moving slow, as you can imagine, with the bureaucracy. So at this point, we're making some assumptions. Every health department here, it's regional. And it seems like every health department interprets the language differently. So at any rate, we're you know, taking the side of caution. And as an example, it's looking like right now we're using 50 as an indoor capacity limit in the stage we're in right now. So that's what we see as an indoor capacity. And unlikely that that's going to change. If anything, it might go the other direction. So, yeah, you know, it's a challenge, but we've been operating this summer, so we feel pretty comfortable with the learnings we've had. And generally, I feel pretty good about what we're going to do this winter. I echo what most have said. One thing we have a drive-through ticket booth right at the point of entry. So we're going to be utilizing that 7 days a week. We used to use it only on the weekends in the winter when we were really busy, but we'll likely use it 7 days a week so that people can literally buy their trail passes without ever coming inside the chalet. So that's a great thing that we're going to utilize all year. Rentals, we do have a sea container that we've been using for rentals over the last few years. For the summer, the bikes are in there. And in the winter, when we were rebuilding from the fire we had, that was our rental container. So we've moved it right next to the chalet, and we're going to implement it again this year for ski rentals. So the skis and poles, you know, one way of traffic, people will go through the lodge. There will be a large indoor space for boot rentals. That will be done inside. And then they will move out in a one-way flow to the rental container and get their skis and poles. So we feel pretty good about that. Fortunate to have that. We do not have any online rental booking system in place yet. And we're going to try, I think, to get through it the way we have. I feel comfortable with it. So it just seems a little rushed for us in the way our systems work to jump on the online thing right now. Up here, there are no bags allowed inside, no change rooms allowed inside, no bag storage allowed inside. That's a health unit regulation. Lockers are allowed for lodges like Alpine or here, but they have to be seasonal. So essentially the day users can't utilize any of that. So again, like most people, you're going to come prepared to ski, and it is going to be your car as a base lodge essentially. We do have two large circus tents that we've utilized in the spring and fall, but I mentioned this on an earlier call. We bought them as winter grade tents after we had our fire, and they collapsed under the first large snowfall. So caution to anyone using tents. I keep saying that just because that was a disaster. So we will not be keeping the tents up in the winter. The one big question for us is we have a pretty large chalet. Will we be allowing tables and chairs for indoor seating? We feel like we could, within the regulations, put a few, but it may cause more sort of anger and confusion if we put those few in, because we have so many visitors. People are going to be fighting over those few chairs. Would we put an online reservation system and a fee to rent the tables? At this point, I think our initial reaction is to have no tables and chairs inside, similar to how we operated all summer. So to keep it fair for everyone, that's how we're leaning, although that could change at a moment's notice as well. We do have a outdoor food trailer that is somewhat an extension of our chalet. And again, because of the rebuild from the fire, we didn't have the budget to rebuild our kitchen inside. So we chose this food trailer that is sort of an abutment to the chalet with an overhang that goes right to it. And that, in some ways, has worked out brilliantly for this pandemic. So people can access the food trailer with a covered roof from outside. And then we just won't allow them into the chalet to eat. They're just going to go into the patio side and find a picnic table. And we'll have some outdoor fire pits and things like that. What else? Yeah, more picnic tables outside, fire pits. It's going to be an outdoor event. Make your car your base lodge. So inside will be used for washrooms. We have plenty of washrooms. People can come in to use washrooms. Rentals, people will come inside to pay for their rentals and get their boots as they proceed outside to the containers. We will help them all with lots of staff. And then our retail store is inside, so people can come inside to make retail purchases. Another unique thing that's, I think, unique to us, I've been to a bunch of Nordic centers and I haven't found one that does this yet, but all of our trails are one way, and they have been since we took over in 2008. So again, that's worked out really well on the pandemic side. So obviously we're going to keep that the way it is. Programs will start again in an altered way. The kids programs that normally ran 2 hours and had a break, a hot chocolate break in between, will be shortened to an hour and 15 minutes and there will be no break. So it's kind of, we call the kiss and ride. You know, parents are going to drop off, kids go to the programs, then they go back in the car and leave. That's the idea there. Groomer tours, thanks to Gene from Breckenridge Nordic. We jumped on top of that idea after he was raving about it. So we have our Pernod Bubble Cat, and we are going to operate that with a familial bubble capacity. So we're really excited about that. With so limited things to do, we're really thinking that could take off this winter as families are looking for something to do, and maybe they're not skiers. So, jump in a groomer. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go for a ride, go out to the lookout, have some hot chocolate, and come home. So that's a great thing that we think we can utilize. And then just another little side note, we're in the midst of our annual ski swap. So we proceeded with a very altered ski swap this year. It's reservation only, limit of 50 people per time slot, 90-minute time slots. And normally our swap is only one weekend, and it sells, or it just is a free-for-all. So we've decided to run this swap for 10 days, from Saturday through until the next Sunday. And the first weekend has just passed. We're into the next week. It was sold out on the weekend at $10 an entry. And it was sold out on Monday and Tuesday after the weekend. And it's been a record swap already after the first weekend. We generated $8,000 in revenue from just the $10 entry fees. And it's still going. And what everyone is saying about ski, the industry is true here. Everyone is coming out and buying Nordic skis that has never even thought about it before. So that is really fantastic. But that's a bit of a segue into my last point for us. The capacity issue, I feel comfortable. We're going to limit to 50 inside. That'll be easy. We're not going to have tables and chairs. The outdoor capacity, we don't have an issue. We have tons of trails. No issues with that, but parking. So if we're going to balloon this winter, the one big problem we have is parking. We're going to have to find a way to add some parking, I believe. But otherwise, other than that parking issue, I think we're going to have a fantastic winter.
Gareth, you mentioned that 50 indoor capacity. How does that compare with a regular year? Is 50 what you normally have, or would you have more than that or less than that?
So our chalet has a capacity of 300. That's what the fire rating is on it from the fire code. So, 50 versus 300. And I can't say that I've counted the number of people inside, but I can tell you on a busy weekend in the winter, it's jammed, like elbow to elbow people. There's not enough tables in there. And we have just under 150 seats at tables in the day lodge area. And they're all sold. They're gone. And people are sitting on the floor. So, having 50 inside, that's why we say I don't think we're going to do the tables and chairs. We'll have 50 people in just going to the washroom in the retail store lined up to get rentals. And that's going to consume our 50 inside.
Right. Right. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Gareth. I'm going to stay in Canada and go to Pierre at Mount St. Anne. Pierre, Mount St. Anne is closely tied to your alpine ski area with the same name. What are you anticipating for your Nordic Center this year, and how will you operate? I know you've got a pretty good-sized Nordic Center with a pretty good-sized wax area. So what are your plans at this point?
Yes, we just received last week the rule from the public health government. And yes, we have a big chalet. Yes, for the boutique, we have at the first floor, we have a boutique and renting at the same place. We're going to move the renting in the main floor where the cafeteria is. We're going to take lots of space for the renting there, for all what we rent. And we're going to take very lots of place where people were sitting to be able to make it safe. And we're going to make in our chalet, because we're going to use 50% of our chalet, and we're going to put table and seats. But we have about 150 people who can seat, and it's going to be about 60, 70, four person per table. And we're going to control that. We're going to have somebody at the doors who is going to check and is going to control everybody. And another person to control in the chalet that everybody is, we have enough, we have not, we don't take, more people that we are allowed to take. So that's how we're gonna work. We're gonna make a corridor to go to the washroom. Most of the washroom will be half of it be able to be used. So we're gonna close some. So we won't allow people to stay longer than 20 minutes in the chalet. They won't be able to, they won't be allowed to sit and eat lunch, no lunch, nothing. It's just to warm up a little bit and maybe put their boots, but and then they have to bring back their boots in the car. Like everybody, there will be no cashier, no nothing. It's going to be left in the chalet. And we are going to, for the waxing room, it's a little bit of our problem right now. It's going to be very, very small. Probably it's going to be outside. We have a pergola outside, and maybe our waxing room will be there. And we're going to try to eat it. Or if we don't go outside, we're going to take our waxing room, but just a small part to people to take 10, 15 minutes, not more, to wax. That's it. That's all. And out. And that's it for that. And for the no food, right now we are in a red zone in Quebec. Most of the province, we are in the red zone. So no lunch, nothing, no cafeteria. If we come in orange zone, we're going to sell just some coffee and liqueur and juice, and but that's it for all winter. No matter what happened, if that's what, that will be it for all winter. And we're going to, for the tickets, we have a gate before the main chalet. We have a gate, so somebody's inside the gate. We're going to try to sell as much as possible online tickets. We don't know yet if we are going to take tickets at the gate and sell it there. If they don't have buy it online yet, we don't know yet. We have to decide that. We have meeting on that. And if they buy their tickets and they arrive with on their phone, we're going to scan it and give the ticket, and we're going to work that way. Usually we are two people at the gate, one outside for the season pass to make them pass, not to wait. And the woman who is behind a window. The parking lot, if it's full, very good. We're going to make other parking lot. We're going to go on the road, and we'll see. And for now, that's about it. But even on the renting, we don't know yet. Renting, maybe it's going to be, all of the renting will be online, but it's not decided yet. We're still discussing about that. Maybe it will be half of our renting will be online, and the other half, like skis and everything, but because of the cambrure and everything, but maybe it's going to be one by one at the shop. We'll see. We still have to think about that. But our main concern, it will be, yes, we put table and seats. We have to, it's going to bring us to make a good control and discipline on the people not to stay too long. We don't know how it's going to work. I know it's going to be the same at the Alpine ski area. We go the same way, and it's the same rule with the health public thing. Our information desk inside the chalet, but it will be with plexiglass and everything to give the information and but we're going to try that the people don't stay too long in the chalet, just to warm up when they come back and go out. That's it. One door to come in, one door to go out. And when they go out, they're going to have to go around the chalet to come back inside if they need to bring their skis or snowshoeing. We have no, we don't think we're going you know, as much people that we can receive on the trail will be accepted. We don't see any problem there. The only problem we can see is when they start and they start to talk together at the beginning of the trail, but we'll see. But there's no restriction on that, on the number of skier birthday. That's about it for us.
Well, are you interested? Sorry.
What?
No, go ahead.
Still have things to can, you know, everything is not all defined yet, but that's the way we're looking at.
Great. You mentioned, do you sell tickets at your gate or not?
That's for sure. We're going to sell online. I don't know yet if we're going to sell, if they arrive and they haven't buy their tickets. I don't know yet if we're going to do it. It's in discussion right now. I think we can do it. I think we can do it because the way we are arranged, we are fixed with our chalet outside, our small booth. It's possible, but it will be a general politic of RCR. RCR is a resort of Canadian Rockies. They own five, six alpine ski area and one cross country, us, Mont-Saint-Anne and Alpine. And it's going to be the same politic, but we'll see. But I know that the Alpine, they go only on online tickets, probably, for all the skiers. But for us, it's still discussion to come.
Gotcha. Thank you. All right, let's go back to the U.S. I'm going to go to Sheldon up at Craftsbury. Sheldon, thanks for joining us here. You guys are known for certainly your early season skiing, your powerful snowmaking system. But you are located in Vermont, and we have some pretty strict quarantine rules for those out of state. Have you guys looked at that and have any kind of thoughts on if you will police it, if it's your job to police that, or how you will handle that early season surge that I'm assuming will be coming?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The policing issue in particular is a real challenge. We're doing our best. Yeah, we're doing our best with regards to policing in terms of trying to funnel a lot more of our reservations through actual phone attendance and through our reservation staff so we can have some of those conversations in advance to back up our educational efforts around, you know, here's the ACCD green counties. You know, we've really, for those of you who aren't from Vermont, there's a list from the state that says, like, on the basis of count per million, case count per million, a county can either be green, yellow, or red. And if you're in Vermont, you can travel within Vermont, no problem. But outside of Vermont, we're saying that, like the ACCD, if you are in a green county, you can come and everything's great. If you're in a yellow or red, you need to quarantine for either 14 days or 7 days with a negative test. And, you know, at this, it is sort of this fine line because there's, and we're doing our best to sort of educate and communicate with the guests around that. But at the same time, there's only so much we can do. And it's a tough thing to, navigate.
Yep.
So, okay. So far it's been worked out okay. And it's also mitigated somewhat by, we're not opening our dorm style lodging this year. Mm-hmm. So that will be, takes about half of our lodging off the table, but we were unable to find any way that, to sort of reconfigure things to make it safe for users in that space. We're trying to make up for that lodging loss by bringing in, collegian athletes that have had their seasons canceled. And it's essentially, for those of you who are familiar with our post-collegiate programming, it's essentially pay-to-play green racing project. So these college students, right now we have rowers whose seasons were canceled, and we filled Cedar with them. And during the winter, now that EISA and NESCAC have canceled skiing, we'll be hosting a certain number of college skiers who will be studying online and then staying with us and skiing and training with us. But that population, we can have, it's a lot easier to sort of enforce rules and regulations in a way. It's a stable population. They'll be here all semester. There's not a lot of turnover. It's sort of forming a bubble. But we were unable to figure out how to do that with the regular general public. So gotcha. Sorry to kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit there, Reese, but
that's all right. I didn't want to, it was a tough question. So
yeah.
But I have a follow-up for you that's separate. You guys recently built a really nice lodge that houses your food, retail, rentals. How will you be operating that this year? Keying in specifically on your ticket sales, your retail, and your rentals.
For sure. So in terms of ticket sales, we've moved and have been pushing folks as much as we can towards online. We added online sales last year in our when we redid our website and have really been pushing on that front. Like Traps and other folks have mentioned, this summer we added a lot more information on our kiosks. with QR codes, easy to remember URLs, you know, craftsbeer.com/daypass, and there you go. Just to make it so that there's contactless transactions on that front. And we will continue to do that throughout the winter. As to the lodge and so forth, one of the downsides of our rather passive and very efficient heating and cooling system there is that it is passive and it's hard to insert components to encourage that airflow and so forth when you're, at least to this point, we haven't been able to unlock that. So much of the ski world, you know, the car is the new lodge. So we'll be doing pass-through rentals, outdoor lessons, pass-through cafe, sort of pulling out windows and putting in, pass-through options there, and mounting our point-of-sale terminals on the exterior of the building so that we can go ahead and have both contactless payment, Google and Apple Pay, as well as credit cards and so forth, taken that way, and then just sort of the pass-through for any cash. In terms of toilet facilities and so forth, we bought a heated trailer with running water. So it's outside, super easy to clean, but it's a step or six up from a Port-a-John. That's on that front. And at this point, everything is going to, our plan is to continue sort of in an analog nature, both for rental and lesson and food. But we are exploring online options there, particularly, as you mentioned, Reese, around our early season snowmaking loop. Even in a non-COVID year, that can be a bit like trying to walk at the mall on the early mornings.
Right.
And so we may need to issue a reservation system. We don't anticipate doing that past, you know, once normal operations midwinter has kicked in, that would be fine, but we may well have to do a reservation system for our first few weeks when we're just on, you know, a kilometer of last year's snow.
Gotcha.
But you know, there's a lot of, it's been great to have, you know, you all in these panels as resources, and we've drawn a lot of them, you know, and if you listen to what we're doing, it's a lot of what people are saying, you know, so people's folks' point about the ambassadors, that's a big piece of it for us, you know, just trying to like add, even at a parking attendant level, you know, we often have parking attendants for our bigger events, but we're going to have them on a more regular basis, just to have that conversation around, you know, where you're coming from, help folks navigate. We're increasing the signage. We're increasing our Wi-Fi coverage throughout all the parking areas to make it easier to facilitate that, all those day pass purchases. We're still blissfully cell service free. Feature bug is up to the user, I guess. So there's a lot of pieces along that line. We are also looking at, we haven't finalized all of this yet, but we are looking at expanding parking at various other points and opening additional trailheads. We groom about 105K, and we're hoping to open another 3 to 5 trailheads around our system. So you know, realistically, after you get the first 500 meters, 400 meters away from our activity center, it's going to be great. And
will you have some ability to purchase a trail pass at some of those other trailheads? I know you're a little remote in terms of Wi-Fi capability.
For sure.
Or cell signal.
For sure. So it'll, and that's part of the consideration of those 3 to 5 locations, is trying to put them in a position. So for instance, one of them is up on the common. That's roughly as the car drives 2.5 miles from our location, maybe 3. But in that case, you know, there's a public Wi-Fi from the school that covers a lot of folks. And so we're trying to work at it. You know, there's the piece of like a large field with a friendly landowner where we can plow, as well as having some degree of connectivity to allow for that purchase. That being said, there may be, of the additional handful that we're offering, there may be a spot that would be sort of the locals lot or the annual member lot, where it's just like, it's too good to not have a spot here, or like, we really want to have a place for folks, but there's not going to be any connectivity. So that is either going to mean some degree of loss on ticket sales or just a place for your annual members slash season pass holders.
Got it. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
We just have a couple minutes left. So Richard, I had a long question for you that I've got to shorten now because we don't have much time. I apologize. But I know you're seeing significant growth or growth potential out there in Park City. You've been selling lessons for next year already. I know you've got a couple hundred probably sold. I don't really want to talk about lessons this week because that's next week. But can you just top line a couple changes that you've made in terms of rentals, retail, and ticket sales in the last 4 minutes that we have?
Yep. I'll be quick. For tickets, we've got some online sales, but we're really encouraging people to come into the shop to pick up because retail traffic is retail foot traffic. We just want everybody to be able to pass through all the amazing things that they can buy when they're through skiing. So it's kind of a hybrid model for that. In terms of rentals, we're working with the city to get a anchored structural kind of wedding party tent outside the hotel for our rentals. We're going to do boots inside, skis and poles outside, drop off outside. And in terms of retail spacing, we're fewer racks, more back stock, more space to move in the store. We're probably limited to about 10 customers at a time, and we can manage that with kind of one-way traffic through the shop. But we're trying to, be flexible and creative. I'm less than a month away from opening right now. Yikes. And we're going to do a walkthrough with my staff. Probably next week, we're going to do kind of an operational walkthrough of how we're going to set everything up and see if we can identify any pinch points, trouble spots, things like that, and really take advantage of the 150 years of Nordic experience that the staff bring with them. But I think that walkthrough will give us kind of a final look of where we need to put things, where we need to not put things, and kind of keep the operation moving and keep it safe for employees. The employees are pretty much all on board about if it's safe for us, it's going to be safe for the customers. So that's kind of the approach we're taking. It's a bunch of other stuff, but.
Okay. No, that's good. And I think you touched on a really key point, and something that we've been talking about from the very beginning is not cannibalizing any of your profit centers, any of the silos where you're making money. And that was very apparent from, I think, the very first Zoom call we had back in, I don't know, May, June, when we talked about online ticket sales, and many of the ski areas said, we really don't want to keep our guests outside because we need them to come in to buy that pair of gloves or that hat or any of those ancillary sales. And for many of the ski areas, those ancillary sales make up $60,000 to $80,000, so significant dollars. And I think that's something to really keep in mind. Next week or in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about lessons as a profit center also. And I want to go back as part of next week's discussion when we look at events, lessons, and food, how not to lose revenue, potential revenue by any of the operational changes that we're making. This is an opportunity, I think, for Cross Country to really make, have a really solid financial year. And I think that's super important. So anyway, with that said, thank you all. I'd like to thank our panelists, Sally Jones from Tahoe Donner, Lawrence Dagnitti from Trap Family Lodge, Ellen Chandler from Jackson Cross Country, Gareth Hubin from Harwood Ski and Bike in Ontario, and Pierre Vizina from Mount St. Anne, Richard from White Pine, Matt Spasianski from Pineland Farms, and Sheldon Miller from Craftsbury. I thank you all for participating. There were some great questions here in the audio and notes that I'll post on Monday. I will put that link to to the dome that that Pineland was talking about, and I'll see if I can research some of those air exchanges that people were talking about and put those links up there also. So anyway, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of the day, and hopefully I'll see you all back here in 2 weeks. Take care.